Welcome to Conscious TV with Tom and Ramon. We've got a very special guest with us tonight, but before we get to her, we'll go over our couple little business spiel thingy majigger here. So, boy, we are real professionals, aren't we, Ramon?
Yeah.
So, anyways, visit the website. We're working on that new paradigm page, and we're looking for input. Somebody send us your ideas and things you'd like to see on there. We've got some pretty good stuff going on there. The heirloom seeds and the earth homes and all sorts of good stuff. So check it out. Also, we are now listed on the topparanormalsites.com. There's a link on the main page of our website, and if you guys want to vote for us, that would be awesome. We are currently, this is a pre-recorded show. It's the 15th of February, but right now we're hovering right around 70, so give us your support there if you would. And don't forget there's a donate tab there, et cetera, et cetera. I hate doing that, but anyways, so anyways, Ramon, there's that professional broadcaster coming out in me, right?
Yeah, very professional.
Okay, so who do we got tonight, Ramon?
Our next guest, I would say, from listening to several interviews, this person was very well tapped in. Laura Magdalene Eisenhower is a soul reaching teacher and healer recognized throughout the psychic and healer and identified in Akashic records and classified quantum access technologies. As a true archetype of Sophia Magdalena on Earth, she is also the great-granddaughter of President Eisenhower and since young has felt a profoundly strong calling to serve humanity and assist us in breaking free of false matrix and misuse of power that threatens our freedoms. Laura, welcome to our show. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
So we want to first touch in on the whole Gaia Sophia mythology, if you want to call it that.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So, what can you tell us about Gaia Sophia? Go ahead.
Yeah, the planetary body is basically like an organism. It has a consciousness. It's a being in a sense. As far as the origins of this, the planetary body was created, and the goddess Sophia morphed into the physical planet. And she's not just a being. She's not just a goddess. She's not just an ethereal being. She's also has taken physical incarnation, and for her to morph into the physical planet is basically, in a sense, to protect us and to evolve with us in our activation in this shift time, our multidimensional awareness and our true awakening to who we really are. And so, in a sense, we have been dealing with an archonic force that has been running the planet, some very dark energies, and they've been competing with the power of this planet, the creative will, you might say, the divine will of this planetary body. So Sophia's role and Gaia Sophia is to, reach out and encourage connection and co-creation so that we are all participating in this global transformation and that we recognize that the planetary body is very similar to our own physical body. And if we can understand the laws of the physical body and the laws that are similar to the way the planet is, then we can really understand how to heal it and rid ourselves of this false power structure.
So the arcana, we interviewed John Lamb last. Are you familiar with him?
Yes, we are our friends.
Oh, awesome. So then you also, you subscribe to the same theories of the creation of the Archon and the Demiurge and stuff then?
Yes, we have very similar understandings. And what's interesting is when I came across his website, it was very close to a lot that I've already written and understood. And he was one of the few that has really been able to pull it all together and understand it as far as ET races, Archons, and, Sophia and the myths of Sophia and, how she's you know, very much this planetary body as well.
So what is your understanding of the Archon and who are they?
Well, the Archons basically were birthed after there's a leak in the Pleroma. This leak in the Pleroma was a portion of Sophia that had sort of went outside of the consciousness and the creativity of the Godhead. And so when a portion of her leaked due to stirred up passions about understanding herself, it couldn't contain it and it created a bit of a disturbance. So when that aspect of her leaked on the outside, she wanted to go back in and longed to go back in to the Pleroma, which is also another name for the heavens or basically the Godhead, the God Goddess. So in that longing and bewilderment and confusion of being on the outside, even though a huge portion of her was still on the inside, her feelings and emotions were very fertile because of, basically the void, the primordial sea of chaos that pretty much births everything. And some of her feelings, ended up creating a lower entity. And this lower entity was not really a part of her in an organic sort of birthing way that one would birth children. It was sort of an emanation of her confusion. And this is a part of the creator, though. This is a part of the consciousness of the creator that this leak happened. So it's not really, so much Sophia. It came really from the galactic core and the first Aeon that emerged from that, which is the higher Sophia, Sophia Barbalo, which holds the masculine and the feminine and the Christ Sophia as an androgynous being. But that birthed the Aeon, the Christ Sophia. So the last Aeon, the 13th Aeon, which is also a part of Sophia, is the portion that leaked or sort of split away. And that's kind of what's created the lower and higher world. So this lower being formed and refused to acknowledge that it had a mother and somehow became very much jealous of anything that would be above it and wanted to have ultimate power. And Sophia really couldn't control it, what it had become. And so what she did was she made sure that the spark of her consciousness and her light was in this being and in all souls that were birthed, during this process. And that's sort of what humanity is. And in a sense, they look at this creator God, this Demiurge, as the real true God. And that's what the Bible sort of, has done in certain stories. And so here we have sort of this punishing, jealous God, but that's not really the true God. And so it's cast a veil on the planetary body. And that's really what the Archons are. They're the forces that sort of emerge from the Demiurge, including archangels and archons. Archons being the more negative entities, the more negative races that are much more inorganic, that are more based on thought forms and negative energies from this particular being. And what they end up doing is they affect our emotions, they affect our minds, and they manipulate by really wanting to have control so that we're serving this archonic system and that, that we don't have our divine essence and we're not really empowered and in alignment with the primordial parents, the true creator God. And so this Demiurge, basically casts a veil and keeps us from Sophia Christ. And the story of Christ is really about, restoring this and bringing us really back to source. And so he, in his lifetime, advocated for the feminine and spoke much of Sophia, but these stories were rewritten because the archonic agenda is that we would not understand the mother, we would not come to understand the Gaia planet as Sophia, and that we would be dealing with a patriarchal society and, basically the creation of a slave race. So really, these times right now are about reconnecting and understanding what exists beyond these veils and who the true creator really is, which is basically all about love, and that there's a spark within each of us to really embody this as well. Because we've inherited the same abilities and powers, in a sense, but in human form, to be in our God-Goddess consciousness and to be way, beyond these veils and not controlled anymore, not subject to the powers of the global elite and the archonic system and the false cosmic cover-up that religion has cast.
Right. So what would somebody do to, what's your best method for fending off the archonic influences on a person?
Well, one has to understand that through media and technology, that's where we're very susceptible, and the foods that we eat. And, we really just have to be strict about, keeping ourselves clear, staying in clarity, understanding the truth, and just, being determined to awaken to it. And, it's a very personal journey. A lot of times, people are throwing information and not about, It's about really harnessing one's belief systems and really believing in oneself and one's divine power and abilities, taking care of the body, you know, detoxing from a lot of these different, you know, foods that contain substances that are meant to dumb us down, and really understanding that we're not in a system that is looking out for our well-being. It wishes to control us, and it wishes us to be less than we are, convincing us that we need a savior or we need the assistance of these leaders to help us through, when really they're the ones behind this cover-up. So we just really need to be empowered and understand who we really are. And once we remember that and really connect to the planetary body, Gaia, and understand Sophia and her presence amongst us, then, you know, we can start to awaken our organic nature and really become co-creative with the planetary forces that are much more powerful than the Arconic agenda. But, you know, we're dealing with technology now. We're dealing with mind control. We're dealing with all sorts of, you know, very strong forces that are working very, very hard at keeping us from being empowered. So we just have to be aggressive in our desires to not allow that to happen. And there's all sorts of things that I can talk about later as far as things that we can do to, you know, get things to the next level.
Yeah, that was one of the things I wanted to ask you, but we can talk about that later. Do you want to go ahead and talk a little bit about the whole Mars situation and some of the things you've been through personally?
Sure. Well, I grew up, you know, really being aware of my connection to Sophia and really what has happened to her on Earth as far as that energy being exiled, misunderstood, and kind of, I mean, a lot of people haven't even heard of Sophia, and she's an extremely important figure, and I just had a very strong connection to Magdalene and just all these stories, and my astro chart is all Venus and Pluto, which is very much, you know, this sort of journey on Earth. And so I was targeted, and I was identified through Quantum Access. One program, Project Pegasus, that Andrew Bishago was a part of as a child, they identified me a year before I was born as being a strong leader in the truth movement. But then this covert Mars mission had identified me through Looking Glass Technologies as being a strong embodiment of the Sophia energy on Earth. And also because of my bloodline, they had chosen to recruit me into a program to get me off this planet and onto Mars. And the way that they did that is by using a partner, somebody that they had identified with a person that I had a karmic relationship with. And they somehow got to him before I was going to, because I guess they knew that somehow we would organically meet. And so they had him under their control, really. And they sent him on a mission to find me and locate me and take me in. And I didn't know this until 9 months into the relationship that he was actually sent to find me. We met in the normal way I felt or thought, and we just hit it off. And he had been talking about this Mars mission. And I was pretty naive. I didn't see it in terms of the secret government. I didn't see it in terms of some ET agenda. And I didn't know that it connected to all these different technologies and you know, ET races and alternative three. And I didn't know how deep it was in as far as being a very serious thing and a very serious plan. I just thought, you know, it might just be like, you know, eventually we're going to go to the stars, you know, as a humanity. And when I realized how much I had to keep it secret, when I realized how much paranoia and just intense energy was surrounding it, I really started to pay attention. And it really started to accelerate once we were really engaged. And I started to do research on the names of the people that he was dealing with. And I started to really, you know, see a lot of manipulation going on and how he was really under their control. And this mission didn't seem like it was to benefit anybody, but maybe a few. And I didn't want to go anyway when it was offered to me, because no matter what happens to this planetary body, I've had a strong calling all my life to stay here on Earth and do my mission, do my work. And it's very much tied into these mythologies and the sacred union and to global transformation. So it took me a lot to break free. And I had some prophetic dreams that really helped me understand what I was dealing with. But it was all kind of done, you know, where I fell in love and then the partner's going to take me to Mars. And when I started to realize that this was a setup, even though we had the chemistry and the love to have a strong relationship, I realized that they were using him, but he thought he was doing good work. And I recognized that the group that he was dealing with are associated with these negative technologies, including artificial telepathy, my labs, you know, military abduction, mind control, and psychotronic weapons. And I had been also targeted when I was young. I was affected by these weapons, and I guess they had me targeted for a while because they were preparing me for this mission from afar. And then when they met me, it was kind of like, I think, you know, it just didn't go to their plan that I would refuse to go and that I would break free. So, I mean, I'm still very vulnerable in a lot of ways, but, you know, I did break free. And but it was very manipulative, very powerful. And, you know, they did their best to try and, you know, keep me with it. And because I didn't, I was not allowed to see him anymore because he had death threats and they were threatening to kidnap me. And, I mean, I don't know how severe. Maybe they, you know, I think they were trying to be friendly to me. They didn't want to scare me, but it's like, you have to come, basically, or we're going to take you. And, you know, some of them that were in that group later on after I broke the story started to communicate with me to help me understand what I had been through and what these agendas were about. But it connects to Alternative 3 and the off-planet colonies and underground bases and basically protecting the human genome. But you know, it's much more sinister than that because it also connects to the New World Order and a plan to depopulate and to hide away and then possibly come back. And so I just wanted nothing to do with it. And my mission really is to just be here for humanity and help us through this shift. If, you know, even if I don't survive it, it doesn't matter because it's not about life or death. It's about what are we going to incarnate to next, and we need to protect this planet. And I really, you know, I just have no desire to be on Mars, whether they were protecting me or had some plan for me that was very harmful. I just knew that many of them were harmful people and were misusing technologies, and they are well known for a lot of negative things. But it's a mixed bag as well. This group has all sorts of people, and it is a part, it is a branch. It's a branch of the secret government.
I just want to say for the audience, if this is blowing your mind, after the show, take time and do research in what she's saying. Don't believe anything we say. Do your own research. And if you really sit down and don't be an armchair researcher, you'll find that what she's saying, really, you start finding some really funny things that, you know, you start saying, oh, is that a coincidence?
There's a, I can't remember the guy's name, Skipper, something Skipper has a Mars website. Just do some research on Mars. Some of the photographs from there are undeniable structures. I mean, there's forests and water and all sorts of shit that you just cannot see. Or they don't tell you about, but if you actually do the research and look out there, it's all out on the web.
So. Yeah. And there's, you know, I have witnesses for my first article, and, you know, people can really have a hard time swallowing this when they first hear it. But yes, I mean, do your research and, you know, yes, question, be a skeptic. And feel free to, I don't know if you have call in or anything, but, oh, no, because it's, okay. But I mean, my point is, yeah, really do your research because, you know, what I'm saying is backed up, and there's other whistleblowers. There's the Area 51 whistleblowers. There's my colleague that, Andrew Bishago, who teleported to Mars. And there's, of course, David Wilcock that talks about jump room to Mars. And, you know, there's just so many dots that are connecting. And I mean, you know, we could spend the next 2 years being skeptical, or we can just, you know, really just do the research and understand, okay, here's a reality. Now, what are we going to do with it? Rather than, you know, waste our time just saying, oh, that sounds too crazy to be true. Let's just not even go there. I would say it's worth understanding and being aware of because this involves our human future.
Exactly.
Yeah. So this, I don't know what to call it because it is a war, but it's not a war you're fighting with your hands or a gun or anything. It's not even a psychological. Cause there's definitely been times that, in my own case, and then I'll ask you about this, where you're sleeping and an entity will come to you and they give you information, but it's not, for example, I'll give you a quick story. So I had an entity come to me and telepathically I can hear the entity telling me that not all white light is good white light, that they use that white light as a cover. But I can feel from the entity that what he was saying was true, but at the same time he was saying in a way to confuse me, so then I'll push away everything.
Yeah, the thing is, yep, uh-huh.
No, I was just going to say, Have you had things like that where they completely try to confuse you and lead you down the wrong path?
Well, I haven't really. I just, as far as entities go, I mean, I was just kind of dealing with this humans who were having agreements and agendas with these ET races. I didn't have any approach me as far as ET races. My partner, though, who, like I said, I found out was sent to find me, was in communication with what he called the patrons, and it seemed to be, in this case, artificial telepathy through a chip. And this is the thing. They, you know, either have reverse-engineered ET technologies or they're using alien technologies. About 70% of what goes on as far as ET activity is from man and their use of these through these exchanges of technology and information. And the rest of it, 30%, is real true ET contact. So I didn't get a sense that he was having real contact. I've had my own contacts when I was a child, but when I was dealing with this program, I was dealing with him, and it seemed to be that he was getting false information about this Mars mission. He was communicating telepathically with something that seemed to be manipulated and somehow connected to humans and their agendas to carry out a particular plan, and that it wasn't necessarily direct contact. And if it was, fine, but it's still a part of the same agreement, and it seemed to be lower races that really want to control us, not help us return to source or our divine nature. Mm. So, yes, they're very manipulative, and they were manipulating him, and I just, you know, it seemed to be that he was getting a transmission that wasn't even genuine from even an ET race, but I can't say that for sure, you know.
Yeah. So for anybody who might be going through the same thing or might be getting manipulated, what are some of the key things, that red flags to look out for? That for you personally, you were like, hey, that doesn't seem right.
The key things to look out for is, you know, just do you really want this experience, and how are you treated? I mean, how do you feel? I mean, do you feel feared? Do you feel like you're being downloaded information that is trying to control you? Do you feel, you know, that it's kind of, I mean, you just have to, I guess all I can say is you have to feel into it. You have to have a boundary and, you know, just never not lose your own truth, you know, and don't just take information and adopt it just because somebody's sending you information, or whether it's an ET race, whether it's artificial telepathy, whether it's through a chip, it doesn't matter. Question everything that you're experiencing. Usually the higher races, you know, make one feel very comfortable and safe, and it's a very profound experience, but those can also be masked as being negative as well. So I would just suggest to people that they do their research about how to protect themselves, you know, whether it's Oregon or a rare earth magnet, and just to, you know, really shield themselves with white light or golden light and connect to Christ Sophia consciousness and just, you know, just have a boundary and just don't lose yourself to anything. And just, I mean, I think that the most important thing is that we don't allow ourselves to be controlled on any level, particularly on a mind level, because that's their thing, is mind control. So you have to question, no matter what they're saying to you, you can't just adopt it as truth. You can share the experience and say, this is what I heard. But the minute you start to lose yourself and determine that this is the reality, it's very important to question it. And that's why the Christ Sophia message is so important, because it's coming from a very clear, strong stream of energy that doesn't have any programs or any mind controls. It's very much about awakening. So anything that's really assisting us is helping us to awaken. It's not telling us what to do or how to do it, or you know, normally doesn't really tell us, you know, what our future holds and gives us predictions and fear scenarios and things and warnings. That usually what the positive races and the positive experiences are about empowerment and about guiding us and helping us really step into who we really are. Knowing that the future is something we're creating, and the most powerful place is starting right now. And so be wary of future predictions. I would look out for that as well. Because UFOs and ETs are time travelers. And many of them come back as, you know, the future self is ET, is their ET self. And they're coming back to really implement agendas that will allow them domination, will allow them immortality through technology. Because they can't sustain immortality in their own nature, because they're not a positive being. They're not radiating the love of source, or, you know, God, goddess, or whatever. The only way that they can stay alive is through technology. And the only way that they can dominate and prevail is by dumbing us down so that we're not in our divine power. Because when we step into our power, it sort of eliminates them, kind of like an immune system that wipes out a parasite. No. We really are the most important thing is that we're empowered and that we, you know, understand who we are. And we're very careful about, you know, believing anything otherwise than, you know, what's really going on in the inside, what we're truly made of, not what something tells us we are, where we should go or what we should do. The positive races don't interfere with free will. They just, you know, will intervene and assist with us cleaning up the planet and restoring it, but they don't tend to want to interfere with free will. So that's another sign. You know, if something's trying to tell you what to do, be careful.
Yeah. Tom?
Yeah, so we've got a lot of go back to the time traveler things. I don't know if I'll spit this out right or not. I kind of saw a picture in my head where if you've got a race that's coming back and trying to tell us what to manipulate events to create a certain outcome for themselves, are they trying to change their own future? Or because if you're from the future, then you're already living on one timeline. So are they trying to manipulate things to change the timeline that they are currently on?
Well, I mean, it's kind of like that's the only way they can reincarnate. From this point on, you know, it's like the ET races that have worked with the government, some of them, they're 52,000 years into the future. So they come back and they're trying to regenerate and heal their degenerate bodies. And that's why they clone. That's why they, you know, do experiments. That's why they abduct, is to get our genetic information, because they're trying to restore themselves. Because their future self on that particular timeline is degenerating. It can't live past 52,000 years because they die out. So to avoid dying out, they come back and sort of do this recycling process. And that's sort of like their cycle of reincarnation, is to time travel back and to kind of assist their race in eventually being able to, you know, harness whatever they get and restore their future as immortal beings, but based on technology, based on cloning, based on very invasive ways to get, you know, information. And, you know, I don't know if, I mean, they can even be that successful, but this is where the threat of like grid technologies, genetic engineering, and the cyborg sort of robotic world, and the you know, the creating the a master race is where, you know, we're kind of in trouble, because they can download themselves into other bodies, and you know, particularly the reptilians use bodies as hosts. The Greys, there are a few different types of species. Some are able to reproduce, and others aren't. And so even though they can time travel, the timelines have been messed with a lot because they reverse engineered looking glass technologies, which are from Sumerian times, and that allows them to see in the past and in the future, at least the humans. And so when you have that kind of information, you end up sort of trying to play God, and then you end up, you know, doing all sorts of things in a self-serving way because self-preservation is their goal, and they don't realize really what they're screwing with. And so, you know, they're just trying to protect, they're trying to, it's about self-preservation. So their future self has to come back because they die out otherwise.
So the problem I see here was if the way they're manipulating and guiding things right now, and I don't know if this is all them, and maybe that's why it's not making sense to me. The way the world's being steered right now is a spiral of self-destruction on the material plane. I mean, there is a growing element of people who are actually waking up and combating this. But if you left it all to the darker side of things, we would be destroying the whole planet and the whole human race, and they wouldn't have their genetics to grab anymore.
Right.
Yeah. It doesn't make any. Well, it kind of reminds me of it's a very self-destructive path that it seems that they're on, because you would think after doing this several times that you'd be like, maybe this is not working. Maybe we should try something different.
Well, they, you know, this is where we have to realize how weak it all is, and that, you know, as threatening and as upsetting as it feels, these are inorganic beings. They function. They weren't created from source love. They're kind of like fragments of a distorted thought form. I mean, they're just kind of like parasites. It's like, how does cancer try and invade a body? When we look at the Gaia organism, we're dealing with, you know, this race of beings that's time traveling, but in a sense, it's no different than like the cells in our body that are trying to attack us and give us diseases. They have a strong will. They don't care about the organism that they're attacking. They just want to dominate. They just want to destroy it. And so, yes, their presence can ruin the very thing that they're trying to feed on and kill it. But in a sense, it's just kind of like they have fed on it, and then they're just going to kind of journey to the next host. And so they can only kind of jump from one thing to another. And so, yeah, I mean, it's destructive, but it's that's why I encourage people to understand the planetary body under the same principles that one understands the human body, and that these things function like a disease would. And its goal is to stay alive, is to feed off of its host, is to manipulate its host. And that's where the, you know, our emotions and our minds are somewhat controlled. It's kind of like the cells of our body become controlled by cancer when, you know, we continue to eat the wrong foods and we don't take care of ourselves and we live in fear and we just consider ourselves, okay, well, we're going to die because we have cancer. And then there's the brave ones that prove the doctors wrong and actually recover and do it alternatively. So, I mean, we're set up with the same scenario right now that we can all live in that doom of, you know, we're all going to be destroyed and give ourselves that death sentence that doctors sometimes do, or we can recognize that these things are functioning in a similar way, that parasites and germs and disease attacks the body, and we can increase the immune system and increase the quality of life in each of our own lives and not, you know, emanate this lower world in our personal relationships. I mean, we're all guilty if we're fighting with people, if we're negative, if we're judgmental, if we're, you know, addicted, if we're watching TV. I mean, we have the power to step away from all that and say, you know, why are we even participating in being a part of this disease if we're pissed off about it? And so, you know, it's just kind of like changing the game and changing one's awarenesses and perceptions and lifestyle choices in order to counteract. And because on a collective conscious level, we're attracting this. This is a reflection of our spiritual health, which is not very well right now. It's pretty sick. And, you know, if we could embody the truth of it all, then we'd be a vibrant, balanced, whole, holistic, you know, thinking world, and there would be no way anything negative could thrive in it. But as long as we're living this half-assed existence and we're giving our power away and we're, you know, emanating the same kind of wars that we hate in our own particular worlds, and we're not in unity consciousness with one another, then, you know, this is just a reflection of our own imbalance. And because of our imbalance, you know, we've attracted this, but it's a lot more than that, because these are very powerful agendas, and the archons were created before the planetary body was created, and they quickly took hold of the planetary organism. So the fact that Sophia morphed into the planet is really our protection, and that's why our alliance with Gaia is crucial in our transmutation and transformation.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense.
I like the body analogy. That's a good mind picture there. So
yeah, because it can get really, you know, we can get so lost in the information and, like, what are we supposed to, you know, and that's really the one way that I've always written about, even since I was young, as far as how to really understand what we need to do to simplify it, instead of, you know, how are we going to battle these things? It's just like, you know, it's really, you know, just we confront the same sort of scenarios just every day in our lives, as far as how do we deal with those who attack us, who criticize us, who want to control us, abusive relationships, you know, or illnesses that we take on. And it's just, but we're thinking of in a way that we are all part of Gaia, that we are collective conscious. We are a living organism on this planetary body, that Gaia is the physical body, and we are parts of it. So when we all figure this out and we can co-create and extend our souls to the world soul and heal this planet in the same way we would heal ourselves, then you know, just that awareness alone is most of the work done.
So I kind of see is just, if you can heal yourself and get yourself whole and right with the planet and connect in with life and start living that, then you just naturally are doing your part to help to heal the planet too.
Yep. And so that's kind of my real strong mission, is to just, you know, just get people just interested in and doing their part. And if we're all doing it, then we're home free. But most people, you know, just don't bother, and they think either some savior's going to come, or they just, you know, they just are waiting for what disaster that is predicted is going to happen. And, you know, we have a lot more creative control than we think. And we really need to just accept that and step up to the plate.
Yeah. It's kind of the whole thing when I'm just one person mentality. And
yeah,
how can I change the world? One thing I keep noticing over the figures that have changed the world, either positive or negatively, one thing I keep finding is that they always first had a drastic change within themselves. I could think of a few examples, but I noticed if you really want to start changing your planet and changing your environment, you really have to start with yourself. If you can't do that, then you're always fighting something.
Yep, and we're dreaming. I mean, in a sense, this is a dream. And so when we're dreaming at night, we create nightmares and we have experiences that are scary. And, you know, but a lot of times we can shift the dream while we're dreaming. And a lot of it just has to do with our frequencies. And when one thinks about the true masters that are able to create miracles and walk through walls, it's like, you know, we're dealing with the dumbed down DNA. I mean, 95% of it isn't activated. It's called junk DNA. And that really connects to, you know, our abilities. And just through certain techniques, one can activate this again. And its power is far greater than any of these archons, because they're only dumbing it. They're dumbing us down so much that we forgot really what we're capable of. They're you know, we're dealing with 4D, 3D world, but you know, there's 12 dimensions really. I mean, the whole just the whole matrix of even, you know, the human DNA and the cosmic DNA. We're in such a low density being controlled. But if we could just, like, expand ourselves beyond these veils and just step into the fact that they can only manipulate such a small part of us. They can't touch the 95% that isn't activated, except for only through giving us some sort of amnesia that it's not even there. And that's why religion is sort of tricky, too. It's all about being powerless, looking to a Christ, looking to a Savior. And that's all real. Christ is real. But the message of Christ was that Christ and Magdalene were liberators, and it was about how they were helping us be set free. It wasn't about us needing to worship them and they were going to do the work for us or decide whether or not we're sinners or we're good enough or not good enough. It's really about co-creation. It's about them helping us set us free by really understanding that they said that we're just like them. And religion has kind of made it so that we're always looking to something external and hoping that some miracle happens, but we have to embody these divine abilities and make the miracles happen ourselves and become Christ Sophia conscious, which means that we are embodying, you know, those abilities. And a lot of people are lazy and they don't want to. And yeah, we're not quite ready for that yet. I mean, that's what karma is. That's what the wheel of necessity is. That's what trial and error is. That's why we fall on our face. And that's what evolution is. It's showing us what it means to be completely oblivious and unawake and look at what happens to the planet when we do that. And then when we've had enough, we step to the other side and say, okay, well, that didn't work. So let's choose this other route. And unfortunately, a lot of people aren't shown this other option because it's been manipulated out of our world. And so that's kind of what my voice represents, is that there's this whole missing link that we can get in touch with and change the game. And, you know, it's not easy to discover all this because we're not born into a lot of opportunity to become aware of it. And so for me to do this, I had to go into the wilderness for a couple of years. I was out of my body for a long time. I was really just being worked by the forces out there of the positive nature to make sure that I would understand all this. And not only break free, but survive to tell the tale and assist humanity in this awakening. Because they tried to stop me. I mean, they did not want me to be doing what I'm doing right. So it has not been easy.
Yeah. So now that we hit that point, let's discuss for you, what is consciousness and what's the meaning? And how does it affect our reality?
Well, consciousness is basically just kind of like the energetics of awareness, of knowingness, of just basic awareness. So, okay, say one has demonic consciousness. They're conscious of things as far as self-serving, as far as selfishness, as far as being power-hungry, as far as feeding on other people. That would be like demonic consciousness. Unity consciousness would be the awareness and the understanding that we need to work together. We are like a web of life. Each role counts. And it's like a mandala. It's all connected. And in that awareness, when we strengthen these bonds, you know, kind of like the grid lines and the vortexes on Earth, we send information to one another, positive energy. And, you know, that raises the frequencies on the planet. So higher consciousness would be the consciousness and awareness of our abilities and who we really are. And so consciousness to me is really just knowingness. What is our awareness, and on what level is it functioning?
So our conscious our consciousness creates our own reality. Do you subscribe to that?
Yeah, it does. You know, our belief systems do as well. I mean, we're still subject to, you know, other people. I mean, we have to share a world with each other. We can't, like, fully dream our way out of this just yet. But it does create our reality. And that's why, you know, there's the personal reality and how one lives their life and is able to have a beautiful day and everything's wonderful. And then there's the collective conscious reality, which is, okay, we can hold our own truth, but then we're dealing with a planet and it's our job to participate and to see ourselves as a global family and do something to affect change. So there's the personal consciousness and then there's the collective consciousness. And who are we in that collective pool? And what role can we take to better ourselves as a collective? First starting with ourselves, of course, but that being, you know, a force that can start to affect the whole.
What are some of the examples that you've encountered within your own life that really set it in stone for you?
As far as consciousness?
Consciousness, the whole Gaia Sophia, because sometimes for myself, I have the question, is this just a belief system or is this real in fact in what I'm following?
Right. And I'm very not into belief systems. So, you know, I just kind of let everything go. And, you know, I fasted for a long time. I went in the wilderness for a while. I just kind of cleared myself of everything, every programming, every thought, and just sort of dissolved into the planetary body and just sort of, I couldn't tell the difference between, I mean, my physical body and the planetary body. And that's always sort of been the case because I've been read by a lot of psychics and being identified through quantum access, what they notice about my aura is it doesn't really close around my body. It kind of connects, it kind of spreads out. Even they said it can cover the whole planet. Whether they're telling the truth or not doesn't matter, but I mean, I think that's how they were able to identify me. Something really is weird with my energetic body. So, and I'm sure others have the same thing. I don't know. But the point is, you know, it's just in the experience of what does it mean for me to be alive and how can I be a healthy person and following my body's wisdom and paying attention to my intuition as a way to know how to function. And whatever information I received, I considered to be my truth, because when I wasn't functioning on my own truth or listening to other people's information, something didn't feel right in me. And it was a belief system that didn't really honor something. And I just couldn't I couldn't be a part of the artificial system or a belief system that wasn't true. It's like I was allergic to it. And I've just always been like that. So basically, I just kind of surrendered to myself and to the planetary body, to the cosmos. And just really felt that it's not about belief systems so much. It's about understanding the forces, the four elements, earth, wind, air, fire. I'm an astrologist. So, I mean, I just see things in terms of not beliefs about God or dogma or books or this and that. It's more just we're dealing with forces. Like, how do we, you know, function in these forces? And what are the laws that are natural to nature? You know, death, regeneration, birth, those are all things that we see. We see it in nature. We see it in the animal kingdom. We see it in our own human life. And, you know, we see it in the universe when stars are born and just, you know, constellations and the stories that they supposedly tell and just the planets and the kind of characteristics they have. So, you know, to some people, astrology might be a belief system, but, you know, this is what the ancients understood and this is what they used. So a lot of, you know, my understandings, you know, are resonant with a lot of ancient understandings of, you know, how they worked with their crops, you know, the way tides, you know, flowed with nature and the way, you know, our bodies just flow with the cycles of time. And when one can let go of belief systems, and they're really just participating in creation, which one can learn from just by looking at everything around them, you know. And so I'm very metaphorical in the way that I speak, you know. A lot of things connect to just the cycles, like of a garden, you know. And when something's old, it composts, and the compost becomes more fertile and rich. And the next thing that grows becomes even stronger. And that's very similar to the human soul and its experience through incarnation. So one doesn't have to have a belief system when they can just see the obvious and interpret it and then see our connection to it, because we are souls and spirits and human bodies that are participating in this creation. So to not get locked into a belief, one can instead get locked into the truth, which is just seeing that, you know, we have a universe that surrounds us and we're on a physical planet and it has these four elements and, you know, and what does that mean? And like, the stories of Sophia and the things and the truths that have been exiled or partly destroyed, I tend to like to look at as well, because the things that are unavailable or difficult to find are usually the things that say a lot of truth, because there's reasons that they take it away. But what most of those documents and texts state isn't really about belief systems. It's about that these forces have personifications, and that when we're really being true to ourselves, we kind of personify the planetary body. And we are, you know, just as creative and just as powerful in a sense as you know, Christ Sophia. And, you know, when we can understand that these beings are real and just believe in that alone without whether, you know, we believe in the message, we can just understand that basically we're capable of what these great masters were able to do. We don't have to believe so much in anything beyond that except for seeing that we are capable of what they're capable of. And then we can just take it from there and go within and figure out, well, what does that mean to us and how do we attain it? And then through trial and error, we figure it out. Or we can, you know, really learn from the masters. But at the same time, I just really enjoy us, you know, just taking it upon ourselves to really not go through a filter and just be plugged to source directly and learn just through communication with source energy. And these ET races, particularly the higher ones, are assisting us. But the archonic ones are trying to take us away from it.
Yeah. Like, even the masters will make you experience it yourself. Exactly. Otherwise, you'll never know it.
Exactly. So, I mean, one's dealing with a false prophet if they're saying, you know, this is the way, go my way. Any kind of control, you know, be wary of. Any master will tell you, you're capable of this, and it's all about looking to the self for answers. And they're more of a guide. They're not less of a guru, more of a guide. And I'm not busting on gurus at all, because guru, the word alone, is very, you know, really about the self and the individual. But some people do abuse their spiritual leadership, and so it's just, you know, important to just say if they're not promoting self-awareness and going through the soul journey and really, you know, go, you know, then I just be careful, because we have it within ourselves. We don't want to be plugging into somebody else in order to find our way. I mean, we can be inspired by others, but we need to embody it and pay attention to our own truth, our own intuition.
Exactly.
Yeah, I can't see how many times is important to keep repeating that message to find your own power, because I remember for me when I was 17 several years back, we didn't have all these radio shows that we have now and all these different people that are so out. If you didn't know, if you weren't looking for it, you weren't going to find it. Now it's easy to find these radio shows. So my mentality back then was, I need to find a guru, or I broke away from the Christianity, so I needed to find the next thing that was like it.
Right.
So that's a good thing about the time we have now, that you can go out, do your own research. You have the internet, which is something that we didn't really have 15 years ago.
Right.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. I mean, I was just saying that, yeah, I mean, sometimes we need training wheels for a little while. We need something to just connect with. I mean, community is important. And to, you know, but then, you know, basically we just have to also just learn self-sufficiency and our own empowerment, and then return to the community setting and you know, inspire people to awaken to who they are. You know, instead of, you know, why would we want to be sheep to a spiritual leader when we don't want to be a sheep to the government? So, you know. But sometimes we do need that connection to just get the ball rolling and just know that, okay, you know, we feel protected when we're connecting to a spiritual being or a group or even a religion for some people. But that is just a part of the journey. That's not the destination. The destination is really your own soul, your own spirit, your own connection to source. And that still is an adventure, and it's a mystery, and it's not really a destination either. But I think you know what I mean.
Yeah. Tom?
Let's see. Well, excuse me.
You're stuck there, Tom?
Yeah, I'm stuck. I don't know where I want to go now. I've got more questions, but I kind of wanted to save them for the second hour. I didn't want to get into the whole military-industrial complex stuff in without the time to do it. We've got about 10 minutes left here. So how about, let's segue back into the Mars stuff a little bit. What did you learn about what they have on Mars right now?
Well, I didn't get to really learn that much because I wasn't supposed to know that much. Basically, it was being communicated to him, but they didn't want me to know too much because maybe they thought I would talk. I wasn't meeting with these groups. I was only meeting with him, and he was the one who was meeting with the group. So all I could do was overhear phone conversations about them terraforming and, I mean, all I could really do is just try and understand through that. And I just figured, okay, well, it sounds like there's a colony there, something going on there. And I didn't have any other stories or whistleblowers in my life at the time. I hadn't done research until later. Well, I did research about these people's names. But, it connects to Alternative 3, which was a plan that they had to, create off-planet colonies in the event that there would be a catastrophe. But it goes a little bit deeper than that because, in a sense, New World Order and heartbeat technologies are creating disasters. And we are kind of destroying the planet ourselves. And then when I discovered that the folks that were behind this recruitment had, were affiliated with these darker technologies and what they're doing to the planet, to me it just sounded more like going off to these colonies to hide while destruction takes place, to thin out the population, and then maybe they would come back and try and control the human race and what was left. So, it's just been a lot to take on, as far as being a whistleblower about this and knowing how to handle how I should approach exposing this in order to keep this from happening. And so I don't say any names publicly about who these folks are, but I'm strategizing behind the scenes to sort of figure out what to do from here. And I know they made some deal with an ET race that they are kind of bound to in a lot of ways. And so I'm trying to help them shift the agreement and kind of not be in fear of these races. And hopefully, they'll awaken. But like the law of one says, as long as you are not fully self-serving and selfish and a part of the real evil agendas, you're going to ascend and you're going to be fine. But at the same time, the introduction of green technologies is something that we really need to be aware of, and what's in chemtrails and the nanotechnologies that, can fall from these springs and get into our bodies to where they can monitor us, and that there's little, when our bodies absorb it, then they're able to kind of track us and keep up with us. And it's, this very dark agenda they're working on all the time. And it's very deep, and they've been plotting it for a really long time. So we have to raise our frequencies above it, because as long as we're dumbed down, they got a hold on us, and we got to pull something like Egypt, but not quite in the same way. We're dealing with a different country with a different, it's just different. And, we have to figure something out where we're taking charge here, because the small powers that be, their numbers aren't that big. They are running the show, and they've got some very, very, very bad agendas in the works.
I saw a blog you just did. Was it yesterday you did the one on things to combat the barium and stuff in the chemtrails?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're actually winding down here. We've got just a few minutes left. So why don't you give out some information where to find that kind of stuff at?
I would recommend that people, Google like whistleblowers and chemtrails, and, just Google, ways to prevent any damage from being done, and how to, Google around and check out my sites. I'm always posting stuff. I'm on Facebook. So the information is out there. Anytime anybody has a question or a concern, really all they have to do is type it in, and somebody has written something, or there's some sort of movement to stop it. And I really encourage people to just say, okay, we don't want this kind of future, so we all have to do something. It's like every day I write a news media person, and I send them articles, and I tell them, what's going on behind this, what I'm aware of, in the hopes that they'll say, okay, this is important, and we need to let the public know. I mean, I don't know how crazy they think I am, or they think I'm paranoid. I'm on the positive timeline. I'm not a fearmonger, but I'm not going to be in denial about, these things that are going on either. So I'm doing my part by, spending 20 minutes each day writing newscasters, and because every single website has a place where you can submit a story that you think needs to be shared. Right. And if we all did that and inundated media with our desire to have these truths spoken to the mainstream, I think they'd eventually crack. And so I just found that a couple months ago, I just thought, okay, this would be the most effective idea, and I just I've just been sort of doing it ever since. So I just really hope people might do that as well.
So are you doing any lecturing or speaking this year?
I have four big conferences, the Free Your Mind Conference, April 9th to 11th. I'm going to be in Tijuana March 3rd and 4th. And then I'll be going to Hawaii for 4 or 5 days with Andy and Alfred, and Andrew Bishago and Alfred Weber. And I'll also have a show called Age of Discovery, which will be every 2 weeks. And basically, I'll be sharing more about that. And then another conference in December, the Pythagoras Conference. And then something in Washington State for about a day. And I'll be posting all this stuff. So there's, you know, about 4 or 5 pretty decent events.
Cool.
And I might be traveling more internationally by 2012.
Fantastic. So maybe
come visit me then.
Okay.
Go to Japan. There you go.
Yeah. Sounds good.
So Laura's website is cosmicgaia2012.com. So I suggest everybody go and visit there. You can get, she has some links there to her Facebook and stuff like that. And she's got a lot of really good information there. So check her out. Another question for you. Have you got any plans for a book or anything like that in the future?
Yeah, I've been writing a book, and I started a while ago, and then somehow my hard drive went to, I mean, everything, just a lot of it vanished. I don't know how or why. Maybe it was, I don't know, somebody tampered with it. But yeah, I'm working on a book. Mostly I'm going to be doing videos, and I have two online university. I'll be a teacher at two online universities. One Exo University and the other one Awaken to Your Truth. So I'm mostly going to be getting information out through doing courses, semester courses, and then workshops, and then, radio shows and just videos that I'll be putting out. I really did want to write a book, and I did have one going, and it's in the works, but I might just, you know, take this route instead, because it just takes a lot to put this all down and find the time to do it with my kids and just all the work that I'm doing already. But so that's pretty much that.
Yeah.
And you also do the psychic readings?
Yes, I do.
And
yeah.
So they can contact you through your website, correct?
Yeah. Under reading.
Okay.
Okay, well, we're going to wrap it up for the first hour. We're going to continue on in our archives if you guys want to pop over to conscious-tv.com and click on the latest show link right on the front first page, and it'll take you to the page with Laura and us continuing this. We're going to talk about, get into the military-industrial complex a little bit and see what else comes up.
And also talk about how to starve the beast.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, well, condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance, and we will talk to you guys in the archives and next week.